Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Spoke about his teaching in parables, and he said, "Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." He was speaking about right hearing leading to right responding, right hearing leading to right doing. If we hear wrong, we will do wrong. So we need to hear what the Lord is actually saying. What is He saying to me?
Our response and actions these days are important, and we're warned to be careful how we act because it could lead us the wrong way. Today, Pastor Troy shows us how our actions not only affect us, but also have a big impact on other people's lives. It's not only our actions that are important, but also things that we hear. We must be careful about things that we hear, because by hearing wrong things, we can have a tendency to turn them into wrong actions. We need to actually listen to what the Lord says. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. We'll talk about the fact that Jesus builds our faith. Could be the emphasis of Jesus building our faith, which would be true, or the emphasis today is really going to be Jesus builds our faith. That He's the one who adds to our faith and continues our growth process. I knew when I was in the military, I went to training at Shepherd Air Force Base, Wichita Falls, Texas, and at that same location where we trained, or there was another group there, they were the high voltage, high current electricians, dealt with high-end electricity, lots of volts. They were called the pole jocks. And the reason they were called the pole jocks is because they climbed the poles. They would climb the poles and come down the poles, and they got pretty good at climbing and coming down the poles. But in the beginning, it didn't look fun. Because, see, what happens is they've got to learn to inspect and trust this equipment that they're given. They're given this equipment, and they climb with a belt around them and the pole, and they're going up, and they have to learn something that's counter to their own nature. See, our nature is when you're 40-plus feet up in the air and a pole that's kind of doing this, our nature is to grab the pole. But if you lean in, you slide down. And when you slide down, you get splinters. So you don't want to lean in. You have to actually push against, go against what feels normal and natural and safe. Push out and trust in this equipment. Well, it's a process of learning. It takes a little bit of skill, but a lot of time and learning. And then, after a while, you see these guys climbing the poles just like they can walk. It's no longer a problem. Well, let me say this. Growing in faith is a process. It often goes against how we feel. It goes against what seems natural, even what seems safe. It goes against all of those things. And what we have to do is we have to learn to trust the equipment. What's the equipment? The Word of God. God's Word says this. Well, I feel this. God's Word says this. God told me that if I go into these situations, I'd be safe, but I don't feel safe. It doesn't look safe. It doesn't look like the right thing to do. But God's Word is the equipment that will keep us from getting the splinters. Every time we grab the pole, every time we press in and try to do it our way, we can count on some splinters. There was a man who slipped off of a cliff one time, and as he was kind of going down, he grabbed onto a branch that was sticking out of the cliff, and he was holding on to it. And as he was there, it seemed like a hopeless situation. He yells, "Is anyone up there? If you're up there, can you help me?" And the Lord spoke to his heart. And the Lord said, "I'm up here. I can help you. You have to trust me. Let go of the branch." And the guy holding on to the branch said, "Is anyone else up there who can help me?" Because that wasn't the answer he wanted to hear. That didn't sound safe, right, or anything else. That's the process God takes us through in walking by faith, learning to trust Him, because it goes against what we think and feel. We've got to learn to trust Him. It makes us stable and not erratic. So we're going to consider how Jesus builds our faith and why. So as we do this, there's going to be four points, but they're going to be a why, couple of hows, and then another why he builds our faith. So let's look at verse 43. "Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast." So the first thing we want to consider that Jesus builds our faith is a why, and that's because expectations can be wrong. Our expectations can be wrong. What we expect he's going to do, we seek the wrong things. Some will go to church for the wrong things. So Jesus testifies here that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And then where does he go? His own country. Goes into his own country, his own hometown, Galilee, and it says that they received him, which is interesting because it sounds like a contradiction. He went, they received him. He says, the prophet's not without honor, but his own country, and his own country is receiving him. But there's more that we just read. It says that they received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast. So they received him with a motivation, their own motivation, put it that way. You see, the way they received him was not in a deep faith. You have the answers, I don't. Your words are truth, ours are deceived. So we're going to trust in you. No, they received him like, "You do miracles, come on back. You can do miracles. When you're around, maybe you can do some miracles in our life." So that's the way they had received him, for what they could get from him, not because of the truth that was in him. Their expectations of him were wrong. They wanted the miracles, but they didn't care about his message. That's their problem. They cared about the miracles, but not about the message. There was no real commitment to Christ. So when this nobleman that we're going to mention in just a moment catches up with Jesus, and he wants healing for his son, Jesus says something loud so the crowds around in this area, so they can hear it. And he says, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." In other words, you guys need miracles. You guys are looking for miracles. And you're not believing what I say. You know, some try church. Or they try Jesus. They try him because they have a set of expectations that are wrong, and they think, well, Jesus may meet those expectations. They go to church with their family, hoping that Jesus will change the family. "We're going to go to church, and hopefully my family will get fixed." They go to church hoping things will get resolved, things will get better, God will bless them. If I just go to church, maybe he'll give me lots of money so I can pay these bills. And so they go with a set of expectations, personal agenda, personal expectations. They listen to the gospel because when you're in church, or you should, I hope, hear the truth. The Bible should be taught. And they hear, but what they hear is I'll make your life better. If you give your life to Jesus, you'll get heaven. You won't have to pay anything because Jesus paid the whole price for you. It's all free. And so they hear these things that are true, part of the gospel, but they don't hear the real message. They listen for what they want to hear, but not for the real message that the Lord is trying to communicate. Jesus talked about listening and actually why he taught in parables. Because people hear differently. And those who trust in him will hear the right way. Those who listen with an agenda will always hear the wrong way. They listen for what they want to hear. They listen to what they want to be said. They'll go away. Two people can walk away hearing the same thing and have a totally different idea of what was even spoken if they have their own agenda that filters it. So in Luke, Jesus spoke about his teaching in parables, and he said, Luke chapter 8, verse 18, "Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him." He was speaking about right hearing leading to right responding. Right hearing leading to right doing. If we hear wrong, we will do wrong. So we need to hear what the Lord is actually saying. What is he saying to me? The truth of the gospel is that we need to be changed more than our circumstances need to be changed. So many come because they want their circumstances changed. But the truth is, and very often the circumstances always happen. If you notice that, there's a pattern that some, maybe most of us, find ourselves in. Well, I don't know why I'm always this. I don't know why there's always these things always happen. Probably because some of the decisions that we make, no, they don't seem to add up. Oh, I guarantee you. There's a connection. So sometimes we need to make different decisions. We need to be changed more than our circumstances need to be changed. And God knows that. In fact, that idea leads us right into our next point, verse 46. "So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death."
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Okay, now we're going to look at a how. Life can be hard, right? It's not a breeze, not even for Christians, for no one. We're in a fallen world, they're imperfect people, we are imperfect ourselves, and so life can be hard. But when life is hard, it can and should drive us to Christ. This man is facing a major trial, a very difficult time. It's not good news to know your son's near death. And so he would have never come to Jesus if his son were not in these circumstances and if he hadn't heard about what Jesus can do. So you put those two things together, and this man now finds himself open to pursuing Jesus, open to receiving Jesus, or going at least after him. If the circumstances had not been there, he would never have been pressed to move this direction. So he travels about 17 miles from Capernaum to Cana on foot. That's how desperate he is. But he's a nobleman also. That tells us something about him. More than likely, He was serving the king, obviously. That's what makes him a nobleman. That was King Herod Antipas. More than likely, serving King Herod, he was living in Tiberias. So his journey would have started from Tiberias, another coastal town, but more further to the south. We know one thing. He did not come from or live in the small hick fishing town of Capernaum where his son now lay near death. He didn't come from there, which means he probably traveled from Tiberias. If he were to travel on land by foot, it would have been about 10 miles on foot. But he could also travel up the western coast, 8 miles or so on the Sea of Galilee, and still gotten to Capernaum. So he took that trip with his son, but his son apparently was so sick, near death, that he couldn't continue or at least take a journey by land another 17 miles. And so this man goes 17 more miles, hearing that Jesus is not there in Capernaum anymore, but has moved on, is somewhere else. The reason he would have gone to Capernaum to seek Jesus is because Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters. It's where they were headquartering themselves. They always met. They were around and near Capernaum all the time. So this man is moved because of a member of his family to pursue the Lord. You know, the Lord has used many a child or family member to get a hold of somebody, hasn't he? Yeah, I know that he's used many a child to get a hold of a parent. The parent says, pray for my child. My child's in need. My child this. But God is using that circumstance, not making it, not creating it, not forcing that child to be bad or wayward, but he's using it in order to draw someone to a desperate need of him. The Lord has used many a person to draw someone else to him. Whether they suffer from injury or illness, or they make a mess of their lives, the children, and suffer the consequences, or that person just makes life rough for us. God doesn't cause the bad, but he is always able to use it. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." God is able to use it all. Notice that scripture does not even hint that God makes everything happen, but God works it all. It's like he's above it, and he can work it all together for his purposes. So life can be hard, right? Maybe you've been driven to God by some of the trials of life. It doesn't matter how much theology you have. When things are falling apart and crumbling, theology isn't what's going to take care of you. It's trust in the Lord that will. And of course, there's theology there, but there is not just theology. There is a true dependence and trust. I have a relationship. Lord, I believe in you. That makes all the difference. And these trials draw us near the Lord. You know, Jonah was a prophet of God. You know the story. Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the great fish. Jonah did not pray to God until when? Now, he's a prophet of God, but he did not pray to God until he was in the belly of the great fish. I think we could have avoided this, Jonah. But he just didn't see fit or desperate enough until finally he was in the belly. We see so many people come to faith, a genuine faith, not a fake faith, not a religious faith, not an emotional kind of a faith, but a real genuine faith in the Lord when they go through a difficult season in their life, where they finally go, I've got to get real. Something's got to change. The games have to stop. They finally made aware that that's a truth, a reality. So they go through a divorce, a very difficult, painful divorce, or a death in the family, a terminal diagnosis, going to die. Financial storms hit. They didn't think would catch up. They thought they had it all under control, but the balancing act, they're not balancing it anymore. So the financial storms hit, or relational breakups can be some hard times. Why? Because life can be hard, and that is to draw us to Christ. David experienced his own trials, you know. And in Psalm 119, verse 67, we read this from his own lips or his own pen. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. David's saying, I learned something. I did things my own way. I made some big mistakes. And then I suffered the consequences, and I suffered certain things because of my choices and my decisions. That taught me a very, very valuable lesson. And now when I hear about your word, I go, oh, okay. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to experience those things. And so you got my attention. And now I want to obey your word. I want to do it your way, even though it doesn't make sense to me, even though it's by faith. I want to do it that way because I see the consequences of doing it the other way. I just recently saw a ministry where they break a horse, not like break it. They break the horse so that it can be ridden, and they do it in like an hour and a half. It was amazing. And they bring the scripture in and show how God works on us for obedience and stuff. And what they did was part of the process. It was great. We could sit here and talk all about it. But the process was this. They would take a rope, and they would get the rope around the horse, keeping their distance, sort of. But then they would pull pressure on this horse. The horse would buck, and I don't like this on me, and kick, and do everything it could. And they would just, he's in a round pen, so he can't, you know, escape. Otherwise, the guy would be drug all over the place. But what the horse does, he runs around, kicking and going where he can, staying away from the source. And the guy's just hanging and pull, just keeping pressure, not giving up. Like, you're going to have pressure. What the horse does, he finally gets wore out, and he'll often turn and face the person who's there. And the horse looks, and as soon as the horse looks, they loosen the pressure. No more pressure. And then they kind of move into another spot a little bit, because the horse has to get ready for a saddle, because they know what they're doing, you know, and with the horse, where they're going with this. And so they pull again, the horse is bucking and kicking and running around, and then finally shorter periods of time go by before the horse finally stops and gives attention. Every time the horse gives attention, the pressure comes off. But when the horse doesn't give attention, the pressure's on, it's on full strength. In fact, sometimes the horse is at risk of hurting itself if it gets too crazy. And it was a great picture of the Lord working out things in our life. The pressures that happen in our life are so that we will stop and give Him our attention. What's going on, Lord? Is it me? Is it something I can't control? I need to know. I need to know what I should do in this. That we would give Him our attention. But it's not just giving Him our attention that's important. We must also understand that He is Lord. When we give Him our attention, what He says is what matters. What He wants to do is what matters, and that's what's going to get done. The pressure will continue if we try to do our own thing. We'll always find ourselves experiencing that pressure. But He has to be Lord. We're learning to let go more and more. And to realize that Him being Lord and letting Him be Lord in our life and govern it and all that is better.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other Gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as He lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.